In going through the Gospel of Luke this morning, we come to kind of two lessons. I'll focus on one. Begin reading in Luke chapter 9, verse 7. Pardon me. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, speaking of Jesus, and he was perplexed, because it was said of some that John had risen from the dead. This is the man who had John beheaded because of his own wickedness that John had confronted. And of some that Elias had appeared, Elijah, resurrected from the dead, the Old Testament prophet. And of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Wicked people can have curiosity about spiritual things. That doesn't mean they have spiritual interest or spiritual life. We live in a time when the most wicked person living can say, I'm a Christian, and a lot of Christians say, hallelujah, he is a Christian. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I say? Christianity is not measured by someone saying the word. It's measured by how someone lives their life. And this man did not live the life, but he still had a curiosity. That's a short story. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that he had done. He had just sent the 12 out to preach, and they came back. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healing them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Feed them before they have to go home. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. We don't know the size of the baskets or the size of the loaves and fish, but I think the implication is quite clear that they gathered up more than they started with. That seems to be quite self-evident. 5 loaves of bread and 2, probably because you're in the desert, they would have been dried fish, because that was one of the common, probably the most common way of preserving fish for an extended period. That probably was very sparse food for the 12 plus Jesus. Think about 2 in-and-outs for 1,000 people. You get the idea. It doesn't register. It's just so out of proportion, you can't imagine. Well, that's what these disciples are dealing with, but it didn't matter. When Jesus blessed it, the tiny amount they had was multiplied beyond belief, and all the multitude, 5,000 men, some number of women and children, so you could multiply that to maybe 8,000 to 10,000 people easily when you think about women and children as well. And I doubt that 5,000 men would be in the wilderness without women and children with them. So you have the incredible breadth of the miracle. The whole concept of God taking our pittance, whether it's in spiritual things, knowledge, abilities, you name it, and blessing finite, limited human beings to do things that honor him, is one of the most dominant themes of Scripture. I want to, just as a spiritual parallel, give you a few thoughts from Psalm number 40. David begins the psalm and gives a theme. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth. It just goes on and on about the blessings and goodness of God. And then you get to the final verse. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I often mention, when I'm studying and teaching from an Old Testament passage, the ancient pictogram Hebrew dictionary. In this case, the word needy, I am poor and needy, it's the concept of an empty house. I'm living in a house, but it's stark bare. It's not furnished. He begins with the fact that what I needed, the Lord supplied. He ends with reminding us of his needy condition. Think about the most difficult time of your life, the most trying time. Would it have been comforting to you at that very moment to know the Lord was thinking about you? That would be great comfort, wouldn't it? Wow, would it ever? Well, that's what David said. And that affirms, when we have an empty house but an overwhelming need, he's there. He provides. Whether it's loaves and fishes or whether it's our spiritual condition, he supplies, and he does it well. We need to keep that in mind as we go through trying times in our daily life. We have a God who thinks on us. God bless you.